News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
On this much warmer Wednesday morning, 28 degrees when we started the show yesterday morning. It's in the 50s today.
Man.
I didn't want to say 28 degrees and freak you out like you haven't been outside yet. You're like, what is it? No, that was yesterday. It was that cold. Then I noticed that wind kind of shift around a little bit from the south. And that's when I knew, okay, here comes a little bit of a change. Mm-hmm. Still kind of breezy yesterday, but from the north to the southerly wind, and that started to warm things up. And we will end up in the 70s. Today. Dan and Dalton, 807 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings, and going to talk a little State of the Union here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Only two presidents never delivered a State of the Union, and they had a darn good excuse.
They died
before their first year was up.
Ah.
So the State of the Union has generally been once a every year. And certainly after the first year, and then you say, okay, here's what happened. You voted for me. Now, here's what we've done, or here's what we're trying to accomplish, and things like that. Used to be just kind of I think early on, it wasn't really a vocal presentation. It was just a report.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just write it out and you hand it over. There
it
you
wasn't
go.
About winning the midterms necessarily.
Exactly. It was nothing like that. And then it became the State of the Union, actually, as far as the name State of the Union. That would have been FDR. And he called it that in 1935. And, of course, that was in the middle of the Great Depression. So people were concerned with the State of the Union.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of latched that name onto it. Harry Truman was the first one in 1947 who actually did it, and it was on TV.
Ah.
I would guess.
So Truman in 47, you said?
47. And I would guess a very small percentage of Americans owned a TV in 1947.
But the first televised debate wasn't until JFK Nixon,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it?
Yeah, that's right. That's
so
right.
Then that was quite a bit after.
Yeah, and by that time, I would say 1960, then many more Americans owned a television in the home. 1947, I think a tiny percentage, I would guess, owned any.
Well, too many own TVs these days.
Yeah.
That's actually not true, but everybody has a TV and it's in their hand. And I still think that not very many people watch. I mean, these State of the Union addresses have become such a slog in so many ways. Whether it's Biden or Trump up there talking an hour and 48 minutes. I mean, fine, take the time. I think I heard Jesse Waters saying that Trump told him, hey, if the networks are going to give you the time, then take as much of it as you can to talk about your plans, your success.
Your side of the story.
Your side of the story. But an hour and 48 minutes, that is quite a long time to just stare at the screen. And how much of that hour and 48 was made up of Republicans clapping and cheering?
Right. You had that. You had also the disruption, not as many disruptions from Democrats as last time.
How about Al Green getting kicked out in the first 45 seconds of last night of the speech because he had the sign?
It's like a coach getting kicked out first play of the game. Yeah. Like, see you later.
Exactly. Yeah, they came for him quickly. But Trump had a lot to say, and I think some things that'll help as we head towards the midterms. Although, like Jeff was saying yesterday, the odds of the Republicans winning the House in the midterms right now seems like such a long shot to hold on to the House. The Senate, a bit of a different story, mm-hmm. but it is certainly possible that the Democrats come in November and win back both the House and possibly the Senate, and then you truly have a lame duck Trump. So you have a lot of work to do, the Republicans do anyway, before then, and trying to put themselves in a better position to succeed. But if you look at what the recipe should be for them, it's a lot of what Trump had to say last night. Talk about the economy and how it's headed in the right direction. Now, you need that to actually
happen
and show up in people's wallets,
A little bit like the conversation we were having with Quinn yesterday about Trump talking about manufacturing coming back, and yet, it's not here yet. It's 1 year in. I mean, the plans were just announced probably last maybe a year ago, or maybe even later into the spring, right, when you got the tariffs going and everything. That was mm-hmm. in April, I think. So it's a little hard to deliver in the first year's timeline. But at the same time, you got to say one thing about this presidency. campaigns are filled with all kinds of rhetoric and promises. He's probably over-delivered in some ways.
I mean, definitely. I mean, look at the border.
Look at the border, over-delivery, for sure. You look at what we've done with Iran, knock out their nuclear capabilities for how long, I don't know. But that was an over-delivery, mm-hmm. I would say. And other things that have to do with countries at war, over-delivered. Took care of him, nipped it in the bud. Almost too much to really recall all that he has done. He's got Europe a lot more ship-shaped than they were. Now, some of his tactics...
They like him less, but they're exactly. In better shape.
Some of his tactics have been hard for maybe the average American to fall in love with, or those who are more traditionalist. Here's the way you act in company. Mm-hmm. So that's not Trump's concern. What he talked about, what he wanted to do, you love him or hate him, I think he's done a lot of that. Now it's time for the economy to catch up and for those things to begin to, bloom.
Yeah, and while, the deportation effort is still headline news, it's not top of the fold like it was for a good 3-4 weeks there Minnesota with Preddy and Good, those fatal shootings. I mean, they really stepped back in Minnesota after putting Homan in charge there.
Yeah.
And we don't see the day-to-day stories about the disruptions, and there's still a protest here and there. And it's really, those didn't get their day in the sun either. Look at some of these anti-ICE protests, like out in California. You had a sheriff out there talking about frozen water bottles being thrown at officers by, I think, children who were out of school. Things got really, really... fiery there for a little while. It seems like that's been toned down some, even as the government remains shut down partially with the DHS because of the disagreement over whether ICE and Customs and Border Patrol should have to show their faces or have identification on them or whatever it may be. But even that seems like it's become less of a story now after the last couple of weeks with Homan cooling things down some in Minnesota.
And then the Epstein files bubbled up, and mm-hmm. then it's right now not at the... Not in the front of the oven, I guess, in front of one of the top eyes in the stove, but it's there.
Yeah.
And so that's just the strangest thing, how that's all going to unfold. We've had a lot of challenges on the text line, or a few anyway, like, hey, why aren't you guys talking about it more? But I ain't hiding anything, and I don't know quite what to make of it. I know that Trump was mentioned, thousands of times, I suppose. A lot of other names were in there. But if these were in the hands of the Biden administration and then they chose to do nothing with the information, if it was going to be damning to Trump, they would have already done it, seems to me.
Yeah, and...
I'm not excusing anything. I'm just saying, where's the proof?
Yeah, because so many people think that with the Epstein files that that's an absolute smoking gun that the president, that Trump, was basically raping children. And, millions and millions of files... They were compiled from all over, from the most ridiculous accusations that on its face are obviously untrue. They include it all because it's all considered, quote unquote, evidence,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether it's actual evidence or not. And so you get these people like he's been losing his mind this morning on the text line. And God bless him, too. I know he's worried about my soul, but I'm worried about his own. I'm worried about, his emotional state right now, and that's mommy issues because he's losing it over this Epstein thing. I know he texts Jeff a lot, but he's convinced that Trump is this rapist, and he's saying that you and I, mostly mm-hmm. me, that we're enabling this thing. And that's what I was closing that last hour out with. Some of you, even some of you listening, clearly have just gone completely off the deep end with this Epstein stuff, and it's like you for the first time are realizing there's true evil in this world or something. I don't know because, it's evil. You and I have been talking about just looking through some of the stuff that was definitely, sent by Epstein or to Epstein that looked to be some really, sick stuff that was going on with
it's terrible.
The children they were trafficking.
Right.
But because... We're not wildly shooting at the hip and saying that, all of these people, just because of a mere mention in these millions and millions of pages are guilty, because you and I aren't saying that, then all of a sudden we become enablers. I'm telling you, with this Trump derangement syndrome, and some people were lost, 8 years ago to it. Some people after COVID decided they didn't like Trump and he became enemy number one.
So after January?
After January 6th. Some, it's this Epstein thing where it has just, for some reason, something clicked off or on in their brain and they cannot function without thinking about Epstein and Trump 24/7. That's what the case was with that 21-year-old, it appears, that hopped the fence at Mar-a-Lago over the weekend.
Yeah, he was eating up with it. And now you have the arrest in Great Britain, but it's got more to do with government secrets they think the Mendelsohn, I think, was the guy that, I guess he's been arrested now.
That's the angle that the British authorities are taking after Prince Andrew and this Mendelsohn, saying that they were both discussing, you know, state issues with someone who shouldn't have been privy to that.
So with Andrew, it's an underage girl. With Mendelsohn, it's got more to do with becoming buddy-buddy and for whatever reason, handing over some secrets. You know, secrets are secrets. They're not designed to be told to anybody. And evidently, they're going to prosecute him that he has done that. And
he's seemed like that was kind of Epstein's thing, though, right? Was getting secrets and using blackmail to obtain secrets.
I mean, that's the narrative. And it's he seemed to me, you know, he was in the middle of a lot of things. I mean, his father-in-law alone, when you look at the history of Robert Maxwell, I mean, that dude got a lot done in his lifetime.
Yeah.
He was kind of eccentric, but at the same time, he started in Czechoslovakia, ended up in England, and won an award for bravery in World War II as an Englishman, and then he went on and worked with
they say Mossad, but also MI6.
Yeah, whatever Israel had at that time. I mean, when it came to living almost like a James Bond kind of life, right?
Well, he was, they made him, I believe, a villain in a couple movies. Like, they made the villain after Maxwell based on his life. But yeah, he seems like a James Bond dude through and through.
Really, really. I mean, when you look over,
died
suspiciously as well at sea. Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot to it, I guess, what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And we're not, you know, maybe I'm not saying anything at all. But the fact is that the facts are that I would love to see more and more about the Epstein case come out and the Epstein files revealed. And at the same time, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to stomach what I see.
Yeah. Yeah. But are you thinking about it 24/7 and living your life around it?
Trying not to.
No, that's right.
You have to make room for your own mental health.
I mean, you talk about sick stuff, and we want to get back to the State of the Union, but Elon Musk has been all over this too, but this story about these rape gangs in London, Pakistani rape gangs, where, and this is way more proven and has been litigated and everything, that over 1,300 young people, I think young girls mostly, systematically groomed. Yep. It just an absolutely awful story in London. So why is it that story doesn't get the kind of, you know, discussion that the Epstein one does? Not that they're both not terribly evil, but it's obviously because of the players involved in Trump, and the hatred of Trump has just driven people insane here. But
see the story about that Starmer, who now is the prime minister. That for a while he was the AG, I guess, our version of the attorney general. Mm. And he did not go strong after those who were that had the allegations against him. He was not a tough proponent for the children.
And the police even were in on it and doing the raping over there in that part of London, too. And the reason that they didn't try to investigate further or go after these mostly Pakistani gangs that were grooming and raping these children was because of the threat of being called racist. They didn't want it to appear like a racist investigation because of who was involved. Sounds a lot like the Somali fraud that was going on in Minnesota.
It sounds just like the Somali fraud. And I think that we've tried to rid ourselves of that penalty and just take things for what they are. And you know, call balls and strikes on any individual that acts in any certain way, regardless of whatever race or identity that they would claim.
Well, it's interesting with that Somali fraud. Trump brought that up last night, and some savvy cameraman had the camera immediately on Ilhan Omar as he was mentioning that. The Democrats looked bad in a lot of the speech last night, and Trump put made it that way.
Yeah, he allowed them to look bad.
I want to play some of that audio, especially when he brought up the illegal aliens and whether Congress should worry more about their Americans than their illegal aliens. More on that coming up.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
826, Dan and Dalton, the text line has been active this morning.
Yes, it has very much been active. Butterknife says that should get the discussion in London, and Epstein should get the discussion in the United States. Yeah, and it is. I mean, obviously, it's top-of-the-line story, but what has been proven to this point, I guess, since the release of those files? What smoking guns are there? I mean, there's plenty of awful things that have been uncovered in the release of these Epstein files.
Innuendos and things like that. But
tell me who's guilty and what they did. You know?
Let's see it.
That's it. Yeah, and I'm not saying there aren't any guilty parties. There are some terrible, terrible people involved, and I think some elites, you know, obviously with the Leslie Wexner thing and all that, but it's a lot of outrage over smoke, not fire, is kind of my thing. And this is, I think, Angry Patriot puts it out, lays it out well here. It says, Dalton, I think part of the reason people are losing it is much of the lies on Facebook and Twitter. The amount of fake info has gotten way out of hand, yeah. And with people having anxiety, it puts fuel on the fire. Hate is always fuel for the fire. Yeah, between straight-up fake news or even just the slanting of news, mm-hmm. And I saw Fox News did this last night, too. They were talking about one of the Democrats, I forget who, might have been Ilhan Omar, and said that she has invited a guest that recruited and groomed victims for Epstein. So you're thinking, oh, my God, why would they invite someone who, like, recruited women, not even women, recruited children to be part of this Epstein thing? Well, it was another she was a big part of the Netflix documentary. She herself was recruited by Epstein at 16.
Yeah.
When she started bringing others into the mix. She was a victim herself.
Yeah.
And Fox News didn't put that in their headline. Mm-hmm. They made it look like.
Yeah.
Suspect number one. So whether it's just slanted headlines like that or the straight up lies, you even got one yesterday too. I like to think that I'm great at recognizing when it's artificial intelligence or not. Mm-hmm. And I was showing you some of the funny Instagram videos that I've saved over the last few months or last couple weeks.
They were pretty funny.
And this one was hilarious because it looked like an old man, almost looked like Psy from Duck Commander, you know, mm-hmm. And he was talking about all these advances in technology we've had, and whether it's, you know, CAT scans, PET scans, MRIs, X-rays, and he says, but why does the doctor still have to stick his finger up my rear end for a prostate check? Great joke, but you went, is that AI? Went, you know what? Now that I look at it, it looked completely AI.
It was too perfect.
That one got past me.
Yeah, it was too perfect because he had so much to say. It was so eloquently put. It was in an old man's voice, looked like an old man's face, but it was just rounded out at the end. Like, how did that's probably AI.
And you called that. And mm-hmm. I like to think that I'm like one of the best at recognizing when it's fake or AI or whatever. So it gets past you. There are some people who I think are falling for every single fake news story, fake headline, fake AI video.
Especially if it fits the narrative they wish to believe.
Yeah.
That's the other part of it, right? Because you can find what you want. You can find the opinion that you want to stamp as yours. It's out there. And if you find enough of them, then you are comfortable in your assessment of the situation.
Mm-hmm. So it started, you know, we just had echo chambers, the beginning of the internet. And now you have echo chambers that are filled with just a lot of fake stuff too, which mm-hmm. makes it even more difficult.
And sorting it all out.
Yeah.
Sorting it all. I mean, I'm guilty of the same thing. I will find things that line up with the way I feel about something, and then that affirms it for me.
And you kind of have to push yourself out of that
zone, right?
Also, Butterknife said, Trump gave a great speech trying to rally Republicans. I don't think it hurt the Democrats at all. He said, I think it's crazy now he's having to head to Texas. That should worry Republicans. Yeah, I think it should, too. I do think he, you know, picked up some good advertisements for the midterm last night, especially when the Democrats didn't stand for Americans, right?
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
834 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. A million texts. We plan to get to as many of them as we can at 251-343-0106. Some do. Some don't.
I don't need to be loving.
Right now, it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. A little warmer than we were yesterday morning. That's some good news as we head towards spring. And absolutely, you know, I was over at McConnellAutomotive.com just yesterday checking it out, and I love the selection, man. You guys have the best of the best, whether it's a big old truck someone's looking for or an SUV or, like you've said previously, even a work van or a work truck. You got those.
That's right. I mean, we've got a bunch of SUVs here. It's such a nice day. You can put your golf clubs in the back of a brand new car, put your golf clubs in it, and go play golf.
Yeah.
Hey, that's just, I mean, it's perfect. But yes, we got some great selection. McConnellAutomotive.com. And, I mean, we're selling them. We're trading stuff in every day. I need, you know, if y'all looking for something special, check the website out because we got stuff coming in and going out every day. We got General Motors is bringing trucks and car and SUVs in here, and don't forget we got 0% still on half ton pickups, and just got a great selection. Mm-hmm. And got a, you know, if you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget McConnell Collision Center's in the back there. They're rocking and rolling back there, and I know the rain's coming in here in a couple of days, so if you have that unfortunate accident, give them a call, 251-476-4141.
Yep, it's that easy. Hey, we appreciate your time, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
All right, that's Louie Raddick. Go see him. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and that fantastic website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
On the text line, one thing I'd like you guys to share. I watched a recent episode of Newsmax, and they had the head of the NRA on. He was trying to warn everybody that Democrats, he says, are once again trying to go after guns and the Second Amendment. Look at some of the new bills being introduced. I knew that in, I guess you go state by state with that, right? We're talking about in Minnesota right now, they are simultaneously as all that was going on with ICE and the Somali fraud and all that, you have a bill that's been introduced that makes it illegal, I think, to own certain weapons or a number of certain weapons, and also that they would be able to come to your house and check on your storage of the
really
weapons.
Oh man, sounding like
not
Australia
a law,
there.
Not a law, but a bill.
Yeah, wow. And yeah, it's a good point too. He's making there with all this new legislation, and if the Democrats win, you know, the House and the Senate, which is certainly a possibility, more likely to win the House in the midterms. But, you know, Trump is a president who hasn't exactly been the most faithful Second Amendment defender. He's had some issues in the past where he's gone against the NRA and against gun owners. So you get some Democrats writing legislation and then getting it through, that's something to keep an eye on during the lame duck years, what Trump could do there. You know, and speaking of state legislation and talking about guns and the Second Amendment, yesterday the House passing the Second Amendment sales tax holiday bill.
Yeah.
Now it has to make its way through the Senate. But the big, I guess, debate, although, like I said, it's kind of disingenuous, this debate they were having yesterday. The Democrats in the Alabama legislature going after the Republicans and saying, hey, why are you doing a sales tax weekend, sales tax free weekend for guns and ammo and hunting equipment, instead of cutting the grocery tax all the way down from 2% where it is now, from state sales tax to 0%. But you're talking about a difference in like $299 million between the two.
Yeah, they're not exactly apples and oranges.
No.
Apples and apples, I should say.
One weekend of the Second Amendment sales tax holiday, they say, will, you know, save taxpayers about $360,000, which means that money doesn't go into the state coffers, the Education Trust Fund. And I love that they've reduced the grocery sales tax. And we talked so often these last couple of years about a Democrat who really seemed to lead the charge on that, Anthony Daniels, and getting that sales tax from 4% to 3% and then from 3% to 2%. And that's already taken about $300 million a year out of the state's coffers. You take it from 2% down to 0%, and you're talking another $300 million. So I think a disingenuous argument to compare those two. And like I've said several times this morning, give me both. Give me the sales tax free holiday weekend and cut the grocery tax down to zero. But Barbara Drummond, who, of course, ran for mayor of Mobile, mm-hmm. was all the way in the runoff. I mean, pretty successful run, and is a representative, state representative. I do, at least on its face, like a bill that she had introduced this session. And she was bringing this up yesterday. She was actually during that shooting at the Terrace
yeah.
parade.
She was there.
She was there.
Not only was she there, she was right. She was like right there wherever the shooting happened. I mean, she witnessed the chaos.
Yeah. So she was bringing that up yesterday during this argument as like an anti-gun thing. And I don't see eye to eye with her on that part. But this bill that she introduced, House Bill 103, which, and I accidentally pulled a story from 2025, but I think she brought it back this year.
Talking about the holding the parents responsible?
Holding the parents responsible when their kids bring guns to school. And I think that's not the worst idea. I know some of you Second Amendment stalwarts probably have an issue with it for one reason or another, but we've seen so much of this where the kids find a gun, or and I don't think they're very often like taking it from their parents.
Yeah.
But still, a little more parental involvement and making them be more involved because of some of the charges and fines they could face if they allow their kid to just get these guns and take them into schools.
I think I
like the idea of that legislation.
I think even if you're daunting, or it's even if you're a try to be a very good parent, it can be a daunting task to try and make sure that your kids are way out of the harm of the streets, the harm of the prevailing street attitudes. It's hard to shield them from all that. It's hard to paint that all of that as being simply way out of line when it's sold to the kids as the cool thing to do.
Yeah, just a way of life.
They see it all around them. Yeah. Same thing with talking about jail time. If you're in a community where you're surrounded by uncles and or relatives, brothers,
cousins
that have been to jail or are in jail, jail doesn't seem like such a crazy proposition. Mm-hmm. It almost seems like it would be a part of your life. I've met a number of, well, many young people in my time at Light of the Village where in that environment, it's simply seen as normal.
Yeah.
And it's part of the life that you're going to live is you're going to do some time in jail. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can't even imagine.
As hopeless as that sounds, I've talked to the kids that's how they see life.
And
Judge Naaman himself, who was in here one day you were gone, he was talking about that.
Yeah, what an absolute. I mean, he knows better than anyone, yeah. right? He's been in the thick of it for so long. And, you know, past legislation, too, in the state has really added some teeth to some of these potential charges. Actually, I was reading this Fox 10 story from a couple days ago.
Yeah.
The first case to go to trial with the new gang enhancement law that became law last year. They passed it in the, I think they actually, let's see, jury selection underway in Mobile for Marcus Cobbs, set to become the first defendant tried under Alabama's 2023 gang enhancement statute. Cobbs was arrested November of 2024, faces charges of marijuana trafficking and criminal enterprise. The gang law allows prosecutors to tack on a mandatory 25-year prison sentence if a mm-hmm. crime is committed to further gang activity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about adding some teeth to charges.
That's huge.
An extra 25 years in jail? You think that would...
Gang-related, right?
You think that would deter some from getting involved in some of that? And this is the first time that will be part of a trial.
Okay, so... That's very interesting. So when I took this job 5 years ago, I remember the narrative from law enforcement was there were no gangs in Mobile.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
There were no gangs in Mobile to the point where things got so crazy during COVID and the shootings were just inexplicably common every day, right? Mm-hmm. At a bowling alley or here or there. And then it was the acknowledgement of gangs all the way to the point now the word gang is in legislation
mm-hmm.
and becomes a bill. So we went from...
in our backyard. These aren't real gangs.
Yeah, nothing to see here to actually admitting it and now using it in law.
Yeah, and now even international gang members, as we saw with that press conference from Sheriff Birch yesterday.
I got a little of that, yeah. So, yeah.
And Trump talked about it last night, too.
Pretty amazing, right?
The illegal aliens, murderers, how many dangerous ones have come across the border.
Now
Democrats just absolutely, I think, playing that last night incorrectly. Look, if the American people see the Democrats, when he brought up specifically Trump saying, you know, I think that he said, stand up if you believe you should care more about American citizens than illegal aliens. And the Democrats didn't stand up. And then he had some of these crime victims, too. Democrats didn't seem to show them the respect, their families the respect that they should have.
Yep.
It was a really bad look. But this ties into something in our own backyard here.
It does. And we didn't quite know it. Maybe we suspected it. But so the man that was charged with the kidnapping of a grandbabe mother and her two children, the 17-year-old and the 2-year-old, now, a couple of things have popped up here on the radar. Number one, and this is not the bigger of the two headlines, Juan Carlos Argueta Guerra, actually that's not his name. His name is Hector Argueta Guerra. And what that straightens out is, oh, that's who this is? Well, then that would mean he's got a criminal past. This is P.J. Lavoie, who's with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, on the man who kidnapped the family.
He is a documented member of the Sereños, transnational criminal organization in El Salvador.
So the connection was he worked with the mother as a painter, as a house painter, I think, with a construction firm. That was it. So where's the family? What was the motive? We don't have that yet, but now it's becoming more like, well, it's just not some guy. This is a guy that Trump and other people have been talking about. He is a dangerous gang member.
Arrested. So he's only 27, alleged, like as far as we know, I guess.
Yep.
27, born in El Salvador, but arrested for attempted murder in El Salvador.
Right.
Multiple acts of terrorism and organized criminal activity. He comes to America, gets deportation orders, right, in 2021. But because El Salvador had protected status and was not allowed to receive deported individuals,
he stayed.
Just like Trump has been saying for years, you have this, you know, criminal, and they just dropped him off here. And so now, because we couldn't send him back to El Salvador, you know, 5 years later, he steals, allegedly, you know, kidnaps a family. And we don't know that he took them and killed them, because he could have been putting them into some kind of, you know, trafficking ring or whatever it may be. It's an absolutely disgusting story, but it ties right into so many that we're hearing from around the rest of the country.
So right there is evidence of exactly what the president and others have been harping on. We have illegals. Well, he said it from the very beginning. They're going to be criminals, and people were horrified. You can't say that about a group of people, but he said drugs and
mental institutions. People used to hammer him over saying that.
Yeah, I mean, that was coming down the escalator. That's way early on he was saying all that, and he hasn't stopped. So what he was saying and has been saying, we're seeing more and more clear evidence that, yeah, you got a point there. And so many made their way into the United States during that time, be it 10 million to 15 million to 20, whatever that number would be, I guess.
Which probably ramped us all the way up to between 30, 40, maybe 50 million illegals total in the country.
And so what's return now, including self-deportations, maybe 2 million? And all that'd be the high end number. But my point is, with this, it's like, wow, this is one of the crazier stories we've ever had in this area. A whole family's gone, well, guess who did it? Possibly.
Yeah.
Guess who's under arrest? An illegal gang member from another country. Oh, really? You don't say. And how about if Guthrie, what's that tie-in going to be? What are they going to find out in the very end? Will that just be somebody randomly came up with an idea that I think I'll make a bunch of money off this old lady? Or was it more
gang-related?
Gang-related.
And what kind of gang? Was it the cartel? Who was it?
Look at all the massive burglaries they're pulling off nationwide. Some of the biggest sports stars being ripped off by concentrated gang schemes.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing to get into a home and to the biggest mansions in any given city and get what they want.
It should be the easiest thing to stand against, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because it's not politically easy for Democrats. They decide to put themselves on the same side as these, you know, very often illegal gang members and murders. It's absurd. Let's go to a lot of these texts. Angry Patriot says, it's in many things people let fear run their lives, rule their lives. The fear of the bullet is horrific to some, but those same people have never had a gun, class, or fired one. Before we shoot down our rights, we should have the knowledge, good slash bad. Thank you for that, Angry Patriot. Squirrel Vereen says, Barbara Drummond also, let's see, actually, I'll start from the top here. He says, Democrats don't understand buying and legally owning weapons, just stealing them. He says, Barbara Drummond also introduced a bill to enhance shootings to Class A felonies, only to be opposed by the Black Caucus with the claim that it would lead to more arrests of blacks. And says, now that the kidnapping suspect has been linked to Latin gangs, he will become even more of a Democrat charity case. Quote, let him go or free him. Chris from Orange Beach texting in and says, when you look at the numbers across the board, Trump is producing. How can any clear-thinking adult be unhappy with what's going on in the country and our economy? I just don't get it. He said the best part of last night is when he looked Omar in the face and started talking about the tamales and how bad they are. The look on her face was like a ton of bricks. Somalis.
Yeah.
Okay, it came in as tamales on the text line. I was trying to picture why he was talking about tamales.
Giving me your lunch order.
He said Somali and how bad they are. Look on her face was like a ton of bricks falling in the sky on her. Butterknife says, remember, a Democrat gave us no tax on overtime. The Republicans took it away in Alabama. Well, that was a Daniels specialty too, right? But once they trial ran that one, they decided, yeah, that's going to take way too much money out of the state coffers. And, I mean, the worst thing they did there was to, and I was on board, the worst thing they did was to give the folks a taste of that.
To announce it, right.
To take it back. That was a bad move.
That was a bad look.
Big, let's see, that's a long text. It's a tough one there. This texter says, you know what fake news is? It's the whole Trump / MAGA is all fake news. Everything you people do is fake, but the Lord sits high and looks low. Thanks. The crazy thing this morning is that, and we have a lot of angry liberals listening this morning, usually those of you who wait until the Jeff Poor Show just to text him, but I've noticed that a lot of the liberals taking the religious high ground. Yeah. It's the strangest thing, because forever you people didn't want to talk about God at all. You wanted to keep him completely separate from politics or anything. Now you're worried about my soul. It's the strangest thing, this moral superiority. I guess you're comfortable enough in your own morals and the life you're living that you feel that, you know, because I'm not doing enough to be morally outraged at other people, that I'm the one whose soul is at stake here. Yeah, it's absolutely weird.
And you can text whatever you want. I do find it strange that we move to people disagreeing with us, well, they, politically, then also concern for our afterlife. That's it. That's a new one on us.
A new phase.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, in a way, like anybody that would come to my house and try to sell me religion back in the day, you know, knock, knock, I would like to, hey, I would say, look, I got 5 minutes. Georgia plays South Carolina at one. We're done after that, but knock yourself out.
Well, I'm no holy roller. I do have my Jesus figurine that I keep on me all the time.
Yeah, I think that does make you a holy roller.
Oh, okay.
We're going to check with Jeff Poor on the way.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
After this terrifically compelling show, you've got the Jeff Poor Show. And Jeff joins us right now from Montgomery. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Just forewarning, you know, and the libs texting very angrily this morning to the text line, 251-343-0106. But they've all found Jesus at the same time and are very concerned about my soul. So, Jeff, just letting you know, they're probably concerned about yours as well. I'm not sure when they all found God, but it was sometime, I guess, along the release of the Epstein files.
No, I think it was 6:18 this morning.
6:18.
Well, I've always been concerned about their souls. I mean, they are some soulless creatures to sit around and, hey, listen to talk radio on a weekday morning. Like, come on, man. Like, I mean, if you aren't praying for those people, you ain't doing it right.
It's crazy. You've got a ton of guests today because I'm guessing you're live from Montgomery.
Yeah, we are down on the third floor today. I guess we're kind of a refugee now after the leadership shakeup. But we'll have Joey Carr kick it off here in just a bit. Shane Stringer doing a make, but we're doing it in person. Doing a makeup hit in the bottom of the hour. Got Lance Bell lawmaker from St. Clair County, also Andrew Jones, state senator from Cherokee County, but represents Etowah County, and Matt Woods, who's a newly sworn in member from Jasper.
Oh. All right. Busy whip day. Behind the ears. All right. Quickly, this.
Well, yeah, we're out of time. Maybe we'll have time next week to talk, Jeff. I was just reading, you know, after the great success of the World Games and the police yes. and fire games, the international extreme sports coming to Birmingham,
but it's not the
X
Games.
Maybe we could spend a couple of $1 million in updating Birmingham's dilapidated infrastructure.
X Game Junior or something. What? I don't know. What. All right, Jeff, have a great show, okay?
All right, Ben.
All right, Jeff Four on the way. Midday Mobile live from Robertsdale Power Equipment today. Great deals on some power equipment, and you could see Sean, and we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6.